This week, we'll talk about how you can take any idea, no matter how fleshed out, and make it into a single session, small adventure, or full-fledged D&D campaign. Welcome to We Speak Common. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the D&D podcast for everyone, because here we speak common. This is the show brought to you in partnership with The Dice Dungeon, your one-stop shop for all things Dungeons & Dragons, including Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft. Yes, they are selling licensed Wizards of the Coast products, as well as other things like spell cards and stuff like that, and of course, dice. Well, can't forget that. It's kind of in the name. So if you want to go and get those items and Van Richten's guide, head over to their website. There's a link in the description and you can use the code WESPEAKCOMMON for 10% off of your checkout, your entire basket. We'll talk more about them a little bit later, as well as our other partner for this show, which is Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B. Describe is a website that does all of your creative writing for you. If you struggle to create a box text for your homebrew games or one-shot adventures, then Describe have you covered. They've got professional creative writers producing scenes for spells, monsters, and locations. You can go and have a look at a whole load of them right now at describe.com, or if you want to get access to over 1,500 scenes and growing every week, you can get yourself a monthly membership with 10% off each month using the code COMMON on checkout. The website is dscryb.com, describe.com, and as ever, there's a link below too. Big shout out to my wonderful, amazing patrons who support the show directly each month, who thankfully have helped me out of a tight bind when some of my equipment broke. So your support is so impactful, you don't even know. And if you want to support the show directly that way, there's links to that in the description below. But otherwise, if you just like listening and you want the free content, all I ask is that you share me with your friends. With that said and done and out of the way, I am rejoined this week by Phoebe Hammond. Hello, Phoebe Hammond.
Hello, Benjamin Norris.
Back again, like the Renegade Master. It's been a while since I said that one. Because, two reasons. One, we were going to do a topic 2 weeks ago and some equipment broke. And then just thankfully, due to some circumstances, I managed to get something together to work last week, and we wanted to talk about something different. And then this week we've got together because we want to do the original episode, but some equipment is still broken and won't be fixed until at least Thursday, which is too late for this week's episode. So you are, you're in a different room of the house. You're downstairs.
Yeah, I am in a different room. And actually, I've never noticed how lovely our bedroom looks on webcam. Yeah, doesn't it look great?
Phoebe and I sat on the Discord server, on the We Speak Common server, with Phoebe in the bedroom and our webcams on while we chat. the headboard looks really nice.
So, doesn't it?
Yeah, good
Your
work.
Eye mask does kind of ruin the...
I was about to say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
The Himalayan salt rock lamp.
Mm-hmm.
The vibes.
Yep. Yeah, you're now telling all of
Exquisite.
My audience how much of a basic white bitch I am. So thank
I
you.
Am. I am.
I mean... I enjoy the aesthetic too, so...
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I've also realised as well, usually when I record over Discord with a guest, I don't have to worry about the delay until editing, but I can actually hear you through the floorboards before you come through my headphones.
Yeah, it is weird. I can hear you as well.
You'd think that us being in the same house on the same internet connection would, you know, mitigate some of that delay.
No, apparently not. Apparently not. No matter what we do, we always fail when it comes to technology.
Whoa. Speak for yourself. That's not completely true.
Who's had broken things for the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, but not because like the technology's broken. Literally a port on the back of my audio mixer needs replacing.
Yeah, so the technology has failed us.
Yeah, but you made it sound like I was a technophobe or something.
No. technology failed us. We didn't fail it.
Yeah, I literally had to take the desk apart and work out which port was broken and buy a new port to solder to the board. So it's been fun. It's been fun. And apparently that desk is so... But it's such a weird construction. It, like, you have to unscrew every single screw. You can't just take off a couple. You have to take off every single screw. And then when you're putting it back together, because it's metal, like, you have to put them all in the right order and, like, do a little bit of tightness and then a little bit more of tightness as you go around each screw, because the metal, like, has to... Like, if you get one screw slightly out of place, the holes don't line up.
It's going to be like that scene at Flashdance when you solder it back together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's. I don't think you understand what soldering is, but okay.
Is it Flashdance? Like,
you're thinking of, like, is the it sparks, Flashdance? Aren't you?
Yeah. That's Flashdance,
no,
isn't it?
That's welding.
Yeah, no, I know.
Do you know what soldering is?
Yes.
What is it?
I have soldered in my life, just so that you're aware.
Okay, so what is it then?
You get the metal that you melt onto it. Soldering is when you use melted metal to solder, like, to stick two things together.
Yeah, so no sparks.
Thank you. I have soldered in my life. I've soldered pipes.
My point is that there's no sparks.
Well, look. I was trying
to
make...
So it's not like the scene in Flashdance.
I was trying to make you a sex symbol, okay? Can you just move on?
I have done that for myself.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about Dungeons & Dragons.
Because that makes you a sex symbol.
Hey, it got you in. Yeah. So, you know.
Have you seen Joe Manganiello?
Oh, don't. Oh, what a man. What a beefcake.
What a man.
What a mighty, mighty good man. Okay, so 2 weeks ago-ish, maybe three, we talked about doing an episode, and you were pretty keen, and then equipment broke. Do you remember what that was? Do you remember how that conversation came about?
Well, a long time ago, we spoke about, in the episode where we talked about, like, how you got your significant other into D&D, we spoke about that eventually I would really like to DM. I am, in the same sense as you, a storyteller, you know? And I think I would really enjoy DMing, but the ins and outs and the mechanics and the amount of planning that I see you do... I know that it's not the same for everyone, but the amount that you do puts me off, because I just think I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I, number one, don't have time. Number two, just don't have the attention span. And yeah, it just looks like hard work.
Yeah. So for context, I am the guy that reads an adventure three times, the first time to read it, the second time to make notes, and the third time to rewrite it. And I do that. Probably a good minimum of 6 months before we're going to play the campaign.
Yeah.
So that I
and
can plan
is,
it all out.
You know, in the evening when we're meant to be chilling out, watching TV, Ben's there tapping away.
It's chill.
It's chill for you.
I enjoy it. and you enjoy, you reap the rewards of it, because you know how much better and how good my games are because of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. I understand where you're coming from when you say, like, oh, that looks really intimidating and that looks like a lot of hard work, because it is a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And so this episode is all about taking an idea and making it either a session or the idea for a campaign. I don't know what your idea is. I've asked you not to tell me before the episode. Mm-hmm. So we'll work out which one is going to be when we sit and talk, and how that you, as someone who's never really DM'd before, could take that and make it a session or a campaign without the stress of the amount of work that I do. So ideally within the next 40 to 50 minutes we'll have a session or campaign for you.
And
whether you run it or not is another thing.
I just want to point out that just because we're doing this, like, I don't want our friends who listen to get excited and think that this is the thing that will happen.
No.
It might, but it might also be in many, many a month. Also,
what I will say though,
if you do want to play in this campaign and you are one of our friends from our party, maybe just don't listen, because we will probably talk about the twists and turns of the potential campaign. And I don't really want you to know that.
That being said, there are a couple of things to note here. Obviously, I will play in this campaign with you, but I am very good at not metering and also just forgetting things, because it's
what you do, to be honest.
I read so much D&D stuff and I get into all of the announcements and stuff and the books and the adventures for this podcast. So I kind of know everything going into written adventures anyway. So I'm very good at forgetting that, like selectively forgetting stuff. But also I will be your support DM when you're
Because that's the other intimidating thing about me DMing. Like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, last week, I don't know, last time I was on, our party is a party of DMs.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned that as a new DM, I'm going to get everything wrong and everyone will know.
Cool. Before we jump in, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I DM games all the time and I had to play in games, I don't want to hear the easy version. The day that this episode comes out, as a extra for someone who wants to see how I prep a game and the hours that I spend into it, I've collated all of my rough Dragon Heist campaign notes into one big book, and it's available on the Patreon today. So if you want to go and look at something a bit more intense, if you're sitting here thinking, this is too easy, I want hardcore DM planning, then go to the Patreon. It's there for you there. Cool. Okay. That comes out today. Phoebe.
Yes.
I know that you have been absorbing a lot of media. I know that you were interested in Candlekeep. I know that we've started watching season 4 of Castlevania, and Ravenloft's Domains of Dread are coming out, and you're very keen on all of that gothic horror stuff, being a child born of Barovia. So I'm interested to see what your idea is. So can you tell me, In not too much detail, don't go into too much in depth yet, because I don't know how much you've thought about this, what is the elevator pitch? What's the kind of type of story you want to tell? Now, this can be anything from a theme, a storyline, like, oh, I want to tell a heist story, or I want to tell a story where people go to heist and then they get captured, like something like that. Or it can be, I want to tell the story of Beauty and the Beast, or I want to tell the story of The Mandalorian. Like, what is your elevator pitch reference?
Okay. So, hello, my name is Phoebe Hammond, and I'm obsessed with Derren Brown.
Oh, gosh.
And for American... I think Derren Brown is a well-known person, even for American people at this point, for the rest of the world.
He's definitely very much more known here in England, but yeah, he has been abroad.
Okay, so he is like... think every great magician, illusionist, mind reader, mind play. Like, he works with subliminal messaging and placebos, and like it's amazing. He is
the term,
amazing.
The term used to describe the type of magician that he is mentalist.
Mentalist. That was another word that I couldn't find in my head. Thank you. I love this man. I have seen his live shows. I've watched every single TV show he has ever done. And I want to have his magic babies. I swear to God.
Oh. Okay.
I love the man.
I mean, he is also a bald man, so that poses well for me. That explains a lot, actually.
Yeah. So.
Right.
He's amazing, and he works a lot with mind trickery and... one of his shows was called Trick or Treat, and the idea is you as a willing subject, but also it could happen at any time, so you don't really know. He would trick or treat people, and at one point I think one guy went into a photo booth to get his passport pictures taken, and he was hypnotized in the photo booth through the screen, put to sleep, put on a plane, got through security, like everything, and to India.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So And then he obviously, like, part of the show was him working out what happened and all this thing. But, like, so the idea of tricks and treats and psychological tinkerings is very interesting to me. But in that sense, I'm thinking semi, you know, inspired by Castlevania, inspired by Stranger Things, and that kind of thing. I'm hoping to sort of start in a very light way, start in a very light,
upbeat.
Oh, we all live with fairies and this is the littlest elf and he lives in the forest with squirrel companion.
I've worked it out. I already know what we're doing.
And then something happens, whether that is them finding a portal, exploring a cave, and then, you know, accidentally walking through. It's in the same sense as the mists of Barovia bring you to Barovia. Maybe they go through something that takes them to another domain of dread or trigger something that pulls them to a darker place.
Do you want to use domains of dread?
I think so, but obviously I would need to read through the ones that are now available to us.
So, this is good. This is good. So, in Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, which I'm going to be doing a read through. I mean, we're recording this the day before it releases, but I'm going to be reading through it and doing a deep dive episode. It's either out already or it's coming out like tomorrow on the day that you're listening.
Cool.
If you're listening to this on Thursday, the day it comes out, it just depends how long it's going to take me to read and digest. But I do know because the contents of that book have been released, like the contents page, and because people who are, you know, better podcasts and YouTubers who get books early, hit me up, Wizards. That would be lovely. They've already done
great
deep dives. So if you're waiting to listen to mine, then you're the OG. You're the best. But I know that in Van Richten's Guide, there is a section on creating your own domain of dread. So here's the premise that I'm thinking of in the sense of D&D. Bearing in mind, obviously, you've come in with a very open...
extremely.
The thing is that, like, in the real world, Derren Brown on the show would go up to people and say, do you want a trick or a treat? And they would pick. And then off he would go setting up whichever version of the thing. I think you probably could find a way to pull that off in D&D. I think it'd be very difficult. And that is the type of thing that would take a lot of planning because you'd have to plan both ways and how the things are different for each one and all that kind of stuff.
I'm thinking that side of stuff would come into play when they have been sort of transported to the darker realm rather than...
So I think... No, go on.
I'm going to do this a lot because as soon as I get an idea in my brain,
I have to shout it. Yeah, I know.
In the sense that when Strahd first appeared to us in Barovia, he was very sweet and he was very charming and very nice to us. And in that kind of sense, that's that treat. That's that, oh, it's lovely and he could be really nice to us, but equally a trick because he's terrible. So that's the kind of thing that I mean. Like more of you don't know what way it's going to go at any point.
Okay. So let me give you my first draft then. We create our own domain of dread that has, we name it whatever, that is an area similar in theme to Barovia, in the sense that it's like a section of a world. It's like maybe, like you, let's say you wanted a forest and you wanted a village and you wanted, you know, like a tower or something, right? Cool. That's your domain. It's a small area. If you said to me, oh, I want a city and a village and a forest and a big lake and a tower, like, great. Okay. We'll make it a little bit bigger. Either way, we can expand or shrink it to your needs. The characters go there without knowing. So there's no like, oh, I travel through the mist and I like, oh, this weird fog has brought us through. That's how Barovia works and how Ravenloft works. But you don't have to do it that way. You could do it similar to, for example, how you transition into places like the Feywild or the Shadowfell, where you're walking through the forest and you don't realise you've walked through a portal. Go on.
What? I remember a game, and I don't know if it was one of yours or someone else's. Hmm. We were in a tomb, and then sand started coming in.
That was me.
But we were transported to somewhere then, weren't we?
So that, yeah, you could do something like that.
So I'm wondering if like the first, if this was a campaign, the first session could be, you know, like, oh, we're cute little adventurers. We're level one adventurers. We're going to go explore this tomb, like this cave. And then without knowing before when they come out, they are in this place.
Let's get the storyline laid out first before we decide whether this is a session or a campaign. You're trying to run before you can walk. So that sand thing was in Kar, in Esteroth. The convergence. If you don't know my world lore, there's an episode on it. You can go listen to it. The convergence had transported a section of another world to Esteroth through the things that it does. And the dwarf magician, the dwarf arcanist Dalthane, had asked you to go to the mines in one of the, I think it was Dorma's Gate you went to, maybe Dorma's Fist, I don't know, one of them. And you got there and they were like, go in, we don't know what's going on, but we were mining into the mountain and we found sandstone and that shouldn't be there. And two of our squads, you know, our miners groups went in and they didn't come out. Can you go and check it out? And so a Egyptian-themed, kind of Egyptian-themed, it was actually from Karatar, a tomb had been transported into the mountain and they just found it. Like, it was a random thing and they'd run into it. And so you started walking in through the mines and you could see sand trickling in and stuff because it didn't quite fit. It was a weird kind of like it no clipped in basically. So yeah, I get what you're saying, but I my premise is, and let me get it all out and then tell me whether you hate it.
Okay.
The location, the domain, we name the domain. The domain is, let's say it's just a village with a spooky tower to start off with. And you go there, and the characters don't realize they've been transported into the domains of dread. They walk through some sort of portal, or they, you know, the moon is at its peak during a night where a storm is happening, and so all of the things that make it really hard to walk into this town line up, and they walk in. They get to town, they seek shelter, and they spend a couple of days there, and it's a wonderful place, wonderful village. Kids running around, you know, screaming and playing games. There's the baker and I know, put that hand down. There's the baker. There's, you know, the little shop and the bar.
It'll be so interesting if you've had the same idea that I just had though.
All that stuff, right? And then, well, I've got two. And then there's the tower, right? And it's like, oh, what's the tower? What's at the tower? Oh, don't worry about the tower. The tower's just an old kooky man. He looks out for us. He looks after us. Don't worry about that. Now, one of two options. Option one, the town doesn't exist. The town is a treat the old man has given to someone else. And the players come in and there are clues and hints that it's not quite right. Maybe the kids play the same game in the same spot and say the same things every day.
It's the same laugh, like, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Every literally. 5 minutes.
Something like that. Yeah, well, not every 5 minutes, but something like that. Maybe, you know, something else, maybe something else wanders in. Maybe some adventurers wandered in once before them and that tried to undo the town treat, as it were, because they were stuck in it. They had to get out. And so they find their dead bodies or something. And that's like not right or something like that. Option two is that everything's fine and dandy and the town is lovely. And, that is the village's treat, as it were. That's they live in bliss, right? But every now and then they have to do something for the arcanist, the mad man in the tower, who is effectively Darren Brown. He's the one who controls the whatever it is. It's got to be magic, hasn't it? So the players end up running into him or getting involved with him and having to go up against his magics, and his magics come through and play out as things like
illusionary.
Illusionary, but also things like, think about the maze spell and how you get trapped in a maze within your own head, stuff like that, except you just flavor maze to be either a wonderful experience or an awful experience based on the player's fears. And one part of character creation is give me fears and give me and give me dreams. Give me dreams and fears. What is your ideal thing and what is your worst fear? And if they get caught up in his maze spell, they see those things happening in their mind. And that's how you portray his trick or treat stuff. Now, that could be a very good couple of sessions, adventure, level 1 to 5. And if it's level 1 to 5, it'd be really scary because this wizard's going to be really powerful compared to them if he's got, you know, access to maze and stuff.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do a much bigger campaign, then you'd have to, I think we'd have to think about, like, how has this man got into this position? Why does he do it? What does he gain from it? Like, you have to start thinking about all that stuff. If you want to do a fun little couple of sessions, then you don't really need to go too deep into it. But if you want him to be like a big bad in a campaign, you need to really start to lay out the motivations.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling more like a few sessions. Maybe like 3 to 5.
Can I tell you a story from another game that I heard that is giving me this kind of vibes?
Can I interject though first? Because I stayed quiet the entire time you spoke.
Oh, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. When you mentioned the village, my initial thought for this big bad was simply the puppet master. And maybe he, like, think deep dark Pinocchio, like he was a toy maker and the town did him wrong or something. Something happened with the town. They made him angry. He made magic toys for the kids and everyone was happy. Think Mr. Morgorium's Wonder Emporium. It was great. Until something happened, would work that out. I don't know. Don't quite know. But I'm thinking that the town is in a WandaVision-esque way.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say.
They're all just being puppeteered.
Yes, that's what I was going to
say. So they might be happy and smiling, but there might just be like a tear because they're not happy. They're not happy. They're trapped. Children aren't aging.
The easiest way to do that for like a couple of session storyline is you say the wizard turned up at the town. The town wasn't doing well. And he was like, I can help you. He turns up and says, I want somewhere to live. I want my own peaceful place and I can help you, or I can make it awful, or I can get rid of you. Do you want a trick, or do you want me to trick you, or do you want me to treat you effectively? And they say, well, obviously we want you to help us. But he's a madman. He's evil. So him helping them and getting what he wants is making them his perfect idyllic place to live and controlling them. And so when the players arrive, they start to realize these people don't have free will and they're trapped within their own bodies. And maybe they're trapped within that reskinned version of the maze spell. And they want to go and kill the wizard and free them. And so then they have to go up against the trick or treat kind of theme. That's a good solid little storyline for a few sessions.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think as opposite as it kind of sounds, I don't want like a big wizard tower because I also don't want it to be too Barovia.
No,
I feel like
as
soon as there's a tower, it's like, oh, it's Strahd's castle. Do you know what I mean?
You're thinking that because you're using that as a base of reference. Anyone going into this wouldn't think that, but
no,
I get what you're saying.
I'm thinking more that he has like a little house on the edge of a lake.
Yep.
And like, it's a little house,
and
but on the inside.
On the other side of the lake.
Inside, it's more like, you know, it's a castle on the inside, but from the outside, it's just a little unassuming hut. You know,
if he's a powerful wizard, it could be a magnificent mansion spell.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that absolutely works. Okay. So let's use that as our premise for the storyline, right? It's man's come to town. He wants his idyllic, peaceful place to live. The village is running out of food. Children are sick, you know,
like it's a bit of a depression, you know?
Yeah, it's just a shit place to be, a shit time. And so he takes control of them by creating whatever situation they're in. He manipulates them all into being his perfect little town, and he lives there. Now, we can make this a Domain of Dread. We don't have to. This could just be a town somewhere in any setting. If you wanted to make it Domain of Dread, I would flavor it as, you know, the dark powers reach out to the wizard who is, you know, so lost and so depraved of having a home that they say, we'll give you one, we'll give you your own home. And he becomes, you know, forever trapped in this facsimile of what happiness actually could be, because he's not actually going to be happy. They're all just doing whatever he wants. That's not true happiness.
Yeah, and none of them have free will to actually be nice to him if they want to. They're all just being made to be nice.
If I ask you to say that I look really, really fit, and you say, yeah, you look really, really fit, I'm not going to believe you, because I've asked you to say it. And it's like that, right? So that's how you make it a Domain of Dread if you want to. But it could just be a town anywhere in any setting. So that's our storyline, right? The players have got to free the town by killing the evil wizard. It's a little bit cliche, but we'll roll with it.
Or freeing him. Like, or maybe maybe it's more that he's played so many mind tricks that he almost doesn't know his own mind at that point.
He doesn't know if the players are actually real. That's quite cool. I mean, Domains of Dread, you don't tend to be able to free the
No, the Dreadlords. They tend to be straight up evil, but you know what I'm saying.
A little bit grey. Yeah. Like, but what I'm saying is that freeing him becomes less of an option if he is controlled by the dark powers.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
So, but let's forget that, because making it a Domain of Dread is just a step further that we don't have to take. So let's play out the rest, and then if you wanted to do it, you could like just reshape it a little bit. It wouldn't take much work. Cool. So the next thing to think about is making it an actual game, right? We've got the story. We've got the idea. We need to make it an actual session or two, an actual mechanical game. And to do that, we're going to need some really nice dice. So I suggest what we do is head over to the Dice Dungeon and use the code WeSpeakCommon on our checkout and order, I don't know, like 5 or 6 sets of dice. Because, you know, as a DM, you need more than one set. You want to be rolling those nasty fireballs in one quick movement. So go and check them out. They've got some really nice ones. Really nice ones. You can get really beautiful metal dice, or like Kirill the Golden has some really cool lore, that set. Or you can get some cheaper resin sets and get more than one set cheaper, because you're buying resin, not metal. Go have a look. Use the code WeSpeakCommon and check out for 10% off, and check out the link in the description below. The other thing you're going to need, obviously, is some really killer, creatively written flavor text for your location, for your town. Now, we could do that by going to describedscryb.com. They have loads of masterfully written by professionals creative text that I think you could probably have a good scroll through and find some stuff that really excites you.
I think that's a really good idea, to be fair. And I think as well, you would get so much inspiration. You could read one little box text and be like, I've just had a great idea for the entire world.
Exactly.
Based off that one thing.
And now, if you head over to describe.com right now, you can have a look at loads of descriptive boxes of text. But if you find yourself unable to find the one that perfectly fits your world, then you might want access to the complete collection. To get that, you need a subscription. So if you want 10% off, you can use the code COMMON on checkout. Describe is DSCRYB.com, and there's a link in the description below. With the selling of my soul done out of the window, let's actually make some mechanics for your world. So we've assumed that this guy's a wizard, right? We're going with that kind of... I mean, he's got to be magical, right?
Yeah.
Now, I say this because this would be the easiest way for a new DM to create this person. If you wanted to make it a bit more unique, he could be something like, there's thousands of stat blocks in my head. I don't know if this exists or not. Who knows? I can't remember what's homebrew and what's not at this point. I've been doing this for years. But he could be something like... I don't know, maybe he's a fallen angel who can manipulate people. Maybe he's something like a vampire that's very good at charming, and so he can charm people into being the way he wants. Maybe he is a mythical creature that has innate spell casting.
Like a shape change.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you wanted. This is the thing. As a new DM, it's going to be 20 times easier for you to find a stat block
wizard
that's the closest to the thing that you think would fit and running with it.
But I want to make my own.
Great. So I would advise then, as a new DM, that you find a stat block that's close to your image and editing it rather than just creating something fresh off the bat, because it takes a lot of mechanical knowledge to get that right, in the sense that it might look right, but then when you play it, it either gets cakewalked or it can't be defeated. And that's just something that comes with experience. Mm-hmm. And if this is your first time, I would just use made stuff. Just use stuff that's already been created.
Yeah, so flavor it in the way that you want it to be. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So why don't we go to the back of Volos and pick out one of the wizards, maybe an illusionist or an evoker or a diviner. Like there's so many different versions of wizard stat blocks in the back of there. Grab one of those, and then we beef the fuck out of him. We take him to the gym, right?
we get him on them protein shakes.
We make sure he is, you know, doing his workouts and not skipping leg day. He's got to have a decent AC, maybe. He's got to have decent hit points. He's got to have enough to the sense that if he's going up against a certain level of player, he can withstand a little bit. We don't want him to be wiped out straight away. But again, that comes with experience. So if we're running a level 1-5 adventure here, which this could be, we just pick one of those stat blocks. They're pretty gnarly. They could go up against some level 5s. I think they're around about... I think they range between CR 11 and 16. So you're not going to have to make them any stronger, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're running it for a high level tier of play. And then we just change his spell list. Now, that's the most fun thing, because you just get to read the spells and pick the ones that you think fit the theme the best. Mm-hmm. So Maze, I think, is a good one.
Yeah, really cool.
And you just use the spell as written, except instead of you saying that they are lost in a maze, they're lost in their trick or their treat. You just flavor it differently. You could do things like silent image. I'm trying to think.
It's like a taunting spell, isn't it? Really?
Well, not even that. It's just trickery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, phantasmal force, phantasmal killer. You know, they would be great because they're not actually. I think he's a very. If he's a puppet master, he's very. We're saying he. It could be a she. He's very manipulative, right? So he's gonna be creating stuff that isn't actually there, but is causing real change and effects in the targets.
Yeah.
So I think that's the easiest bit, because that's just picking a wizard and then changing the spells to be what you need it to be for his flavor, right? For creating the town, I think that's where you're looking at the most work. You want to actually create a town. Don't just say like, oh, it's a town and there could be this, there could be that. Let's make it feel real. So we just list off a few things that we want. So we want a tavern, maybe. We want like a general store. We want a baker's. There's a lake, so let's have a fishing store and a mini dock. Like a palisade. That's not the right word. We want children, so let's have a little school. Kids don't have to go in this. We like players don't have to go in the school. The school doesn't actually.
Do you know
have
how
to have
I'm
any
imagining this town?
Go on.
This might just be niche for us. But there is a Christmas film, on Netflix. It was a Netflix original Christmas film called Klaus. And if you haven't seen it, you should see it, because it is a great animated film. But the town when the post office, the postman gets there. And it's like grey, and the two towns are like fighting, killing each other, and there's some massive battle between them. But how that town is, you know, the school, like the teacher becomes a fisherman because the children don't want to go to school because all the children are bad. So the school just ends up full of fish and stuff. Like,
I don't remember this movie.
What?
I thought when you said Klaus, for some reason, I thought we were talking about Arthur Christmas.
No, Klaus.
Klaus.
Where the guys are... Oh, my God. You loved it. You loved the film.
Describe it to me more.
Oh, my God. So he's a postman and he has to get so many letters before he can become a postman. So they send him to, like, the hardest place ever because no one ever sends mail there because it's an awful place. And they don't send mail to each other because they all hate each other.
Is this animated or real people?
Yes.
Animated film.
It's animated and Klaus makes little toys and he like gives one toy to one kid and then everyone's like, if you're good, Klaus will bring you toys. Oh my God, I can't believe you.
I don't remember this movie. I think maybe I was...
You loved it. You actually loved it. Yes.
Are you sure it wasn't a different boyfriend?
It was you. Babe, it was you, and we loved it so much that I made my family watch it last Christmas.
I don't remember.
God.
I'm sorry.
I can't
really
believe
didn't love
you.
It as much as you thought I did, because I don't remember.
I
don't Google it now.
I
sorry. I mean, it's not like it's your favourite film. It's okay.
Do you know what? It might be up there in my favourite Christmas films.
Oh, don't lie.
Yeah.
What are you... No, I didn't watch that. You watched it on your own.
No.
And I really wanted to watch it and you told me you watched it on your own and I said that I was really upset. Yeah, you're showing me it. I can see it. Yeah, I know. I really wanted to watch that movie. Oh, how the turns have tabled. I really wanted to watch that movie and I came home one day from work and you were like... Oh, I was like, what are you watching? I was like, oh. And you're like, what? And it's like, you're watching, I really wanted to watch this movie. And you're like, oh, sorry. And it was the end. And then it ended. And you were like, oh, it's so sweet. Oh, babe, isn't it so sweet? And I was like, I don't know, babe. I don't have any context. I've just seen the last 5 minutes of this film I wanted to
God,
watch.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you bitch.
Oh,
God,
no.
Sitting on here acting like I've got a bad memory for movies. You know
you
I'm a movie buff.
You do
know I'm a movie buff. I do have a bad memory, but not for movies. But you... okay, anyway, let's move on because I am disappointed in you now. You've reminded me that you did that. Let's talk about...
Sorry.
Let's get back to
anyway,
talking about
Anyway, it's D&D. Called Schmearsburg. That's where they live.
Great, Schmearsburg. Schmearsburg.
No,
we can call your...
Smearsburg. Schmearsburg.
Phoebe, I don't care.
Sorry.
You can call the village whatever the fuck you want. Put your phone away. Stop looking
at pictures
of Schmearsburg. Yes,
someone else will know.
Of course they will, because it was a really big film on Netflix like 2 years ago on Christmas and I really wanted to watch it. I'm sure lots of people have seen it, but I haven't because I've only seen the last 5 minutes.
I don't care that it's not Christmas. Do you want to watch it?
No. No. I want to finish watching season 4 of Castlevania. Can we get back on topic now, please? Your ADHD has taken over.
Yeah.
Thank you. You can call the village whatever you want, but my point is that you need to flesh it out. So if your players are going to spend 3 or 4 sessions there, no, like I would suggest either, depending on your predisposition, drawing a little village map or going to a website like Donjon or anywhere else and generating a random village map. Like just keep hitting the generate button, play with the parameters until you get a map that you like the look of, and then print it out and just write all over it. You know, do a little arrow to each building and say school or shop, bar, home, this block, these circle of houses, homes. Like just do that. So that you know that when the players are walking around it, you can look at that map and be like, yeah, you walk past the school, you walk past the this, you walk past that, and then flesh out the individual places that you think the players might go. They're definitely going to probably go into the shop at some point.
Always.
They're definitely probably going to go in the inn or tavern, always. If there's like a mayor or something like that, they're going to go to wherever that is, like the town hall or whatever. So flesh those places out. And then my biggest advice would be, to have the town feel like a great lovely little town at first, the first day they're there, let's say they get there early morning, create your NPCs by doing name, race, gender, whether they're binary, non-binary, whatever, and then do description. So I would do, like, for example, there's a character that everyone will get to meet at some point called Captain Turnbull. And she, when I planned her, I wrote out her name, I wrote out her title, I wrote out her race, and then her description. So I was like, when the players meet her, I'll describe the fact that she's got long black hair that's in a braid and that she's got deep green eyes, I think it was. And then I wrote out a brief little, like literally a paragraph of something about her. Like, she sounds like this, she talks like this, she's this kind of disposition. And then I did her motivations and flaws. So what does she want? What's her flaw? She can have just one. We don't need to go in depth. Then what does she want can link to a little mini quest. So when I write out a little town, I might have, for example, let's say you've got the fisherman, you've got the shop, and you've got the tavern. Well, the tavern's owner buys his food from the shop, and the shop gets his fish from the fisherman. Well, the fisherman recently cut out the middleman and went straight to the tavern. So now he's got a better deal. So now when your players meet the shop owner for the first time, and they're like, oh, you know, what's it like here? He can be like, oh, yeah, it's great, except the fisherman's a right dick. You cut me off. He's then got a quest. What's the quest? To find the shop owner a new supply of fish so that he can undersell the fisherman. That's a mini quest within the adventure. How the players handle that? Well, they could go and catch their own fish. They could go and find someone else who is a fisherman and set up the relationship. Give them little mini quests within the village that take hour and a half to solve, and make a load of them that are connected to all the different NPCs that you make, so that the players have all this different stuff they can do. You've just made a face because I've just said all the different NPCs that you make. Is that right?
No.
Oh, I thought you were balking at the fact that it sounded like work now.
Because wasn't the phase.
But my point is that it's not, because all you need to do is make like five of those and you could fill up a session with it.
Yeah.
You know? So just make some important NPCs. You need to make NPCs anyway, because you need people to populate the town, right? And most of those NPCs can just be name, race, gender. Like the kids, name, race, gender. That's it.
Yeah.
Unless you want one of the kids to be one of those little quests. Maybe one of the mini quests is the players have to help the kid find their lost cat. Like, that's great. That's fun little, like, oh, you're in a quaint little village. There's no goblins here. Come and help us get the cat. It's in the tree. Like, that's great stuff.
Yeah.
Until the next day, the cat's lost again. The kid asks them again to
Groundhog
help them.
Day.
Doesn't remember the fact that you did it yesterday. And you know, that's the clue, you know? Do you get where I'm going with this, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what were you going to say? What were you pulling a face at?
No, nothing. It's fine.
Is it something unpodcast related?
Yes, the neighbours just started doing that annoying thing that they do. And I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to hear it.
What, are they talking to their birds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Hello, little birdies.
Are you happy? Are you
no, happy? We're not happy. Shut up, please.
Oh, so clever.
It's fine, because tomorrow night I'm going to have a D&D game and I'm going to shout my death rattle as I kill a Baylor, so I'll keep them up at night. You have told me off for it, to be fair. Yeah, they can't see you raising your eyebrows. This is an audio
medium,
Phoebe.
It was when you did the monkey thing the other for TOA. Oh,
like weeks ago, yeah. Made a the monkey thing. You mean I did a monkey noise?
Yeah, but it was like the best monkey noise, and it was very, very loud. It was scream loud. And
it was the best monkey noise.
Yeah, it was like 10 o'clock at night.
It wasn't that late.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, can I tell you that little story of something that I read that I think would fit into this kind of situation? This is the kind of thing that I think you could implement as a new DM that wouldn't take a lot of work. It's just how you pull it off. So there is a story of adventurers who go to a town, right? And the players meet all these people in the town, and there's an old man who has pissed everyone off, right? everybody's pissed off at this old man. And the players, they go to see him. And he, when they see him, he's sat on his porch and he's twiddling with a dagger. And he's got this jovial smile on his face. And they go and talk to him. And he says, I'm not going to stop doing the thing that you want me to stop doing because I don't care. I'm happy. I'm not going to stop doing the thing I want to do. They leave and they're like, this is annoying. We need to deal with this guy. He's a pain. But all the townsfolk are scared of him because he's a magician. He's got magic, right? So the players decide, we're going to sneak in. We're going to kill him. We're just going to go in. We're just going to get the job done. Slice his neck. Get rid of the problem. Because they're players. They go. You have the whole session of them sneaking in, killing him, stealing items. And it's important that they loot and like they walk away with a dagger or they walk away with coin or something. They leave town the next day. I've missed a bit. Sorry. Previously to them trying to kill him, they try to get like the important head up in the village to go and talk to him, right? And they notice that every time they approach and they start talking to the wizard casts a spell secretly on whoever they've got there, who then realizes that, oh, I've got something else to do, or I've already tried this conversation, it won't work, whatever. They realize through all of this that the wizard's modifying the other person's memory. So they're like, well, he's a very powerful wizard. He can modify memory. We need to deal with him. Don't come at me if wizards can't have modify memory. I don't, just let's not get pedantic. I can't remember. He's whatever class he needs to be. Shut the fuck up.
So they go in and they, has modify memory.
Yeah. They go in, they kill him, right? And they walk away with daggers and swords and whatever. Loot, galore, money. They get to the next town, they go to sleep. The next morning they wake up and someone says, oh, let's identify that dagger we got. It's clearly magical. They go to put it out of the bag and they don't have it. Weird. Okay, well, let's identify that sword we got then. That's not there either. Okay, well, what about that? What about all that money that we stole from him? Because he's a corpse, he doesn't need it. Yeah, no, we don't have any of that. We've got the same amount of gold we had before we went to the village. What do they realise? The guy cast modify memory on them. They never actually fought him. He just made them believe that they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of theme, yeah, I think you want to go for,
yeah, definitely,
with your guy. So you need to start thinking about like that kind of scenario. You have to plan ahead for, mm-hmm, as a DM, right? So what I would advise doing is just looking at the spells, looking at how they work, and planning on how you're going to use them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Does this all feel like a lot of work?
If I had a notebook with me and,
yeah,
we sat, you know, how we sit downstairs, mm-hmm, and we actually spent a day.
We don't sit like normal people. With how we sit is very different to how everybody else sits.
My, yeah, legs around my head.
Jesus.
No. Like, if we sat downstairs and we spent a day together with all the books, with, you know, everything out, I think it wouldn't feel overwhelming.
Mm.
But not everyone has a DM boyfriend.
That's true. And so I think the biggest advice I can give you then is to just go slowly. It doesn't matter how long it takes you to prepare this. If it's the first thing your players are coming up against, if it's a one shot or a 1-5 adventure and that's it, that, and there's no expectations to go any further, which if you're running for the first time, then sure. But my point is that you can take as much time and research as much as you need to get it written out, but do it slowly. Write the story out that you want to tell, then find things that fit that story that already exist within D&D to make your life easier. Then plan it. So once you know what your story is, you know what you need. You know you need a village. You know you need a lake. You know you need people in that village. You know you need a villain. Cool. Four things. Focus on one at a time. Let's start with the villain because arguably they're probably one of the most important bits. One of the biggest ones is going to be the village. So let's break that down into even more steps, okay? Make a map or find a map that you like. It's just research. It's just hitting a generate button on Donjon. There's so many resources out there. Take that village, plot it, put in the places that you want in it. That's easy. You can model it over any village you've ever been to in real life because you want it to be sort of realistic. If there's kids, there's probably a school. How do they get food? Well, they've got a lake, they fish. Like, done. Simple, right? It's just common sense stuff. It's not, you're not doing anything D&D related yet. Then make NPCs. That's D&D related. Well, hello, tons of resources online to just generate random NPCs. All you have to do is generate them and then edit them. Or you can just make them yourself. Name, race, gender, done. You can write as much or as little as you want. If you want to just keep it all in your head, if that's how you work, then fine. But it might be easy for you to write out a little note that they have a Scottish accent, for example. Everyone has their own ways of doing it. So it's just a case of breaking it down into chunks and giving it a go. Do you think that still sounds like a lot of work if you were to do it on your own? Like, yeah, it will take time, but does it sound hard?
No, it doesn't sound as hard as what I had in my brain previously. But it's the intimidating thing, I think, about it for me isn't writing it, because I feel like I could write a story and I could, you know, come up with way too much detail, because you know what I'm like. As soon as I do, you know, one little detail, it'll be massively. But then I don't want to railroad these characters into following the story that I want them to follow. I don't want to make things way too obvious or way too subtle that they just walk past it. Or, you know, like that kind of thing. And then I also want to make sure that I'm always rolling the right things and just...
Okay, slow down. Yeah. You're onto a different topic now. So, right.
It's actually
rolling the right things
that feels like the intimidating bit for me.
Okay, well, now you're talking about a different episode of the podcast, because we're not talking about that today. We're talking about taking your idea and prepping it.
Whoa!
So there's that. But I get what you're saying. Like, I don't want to railroad. You want it to be D&D. And D&D means that the players have agency and they have choice. So you're already on the right step, because you're already in your brain saying, I don't want to railroad. I want them to be options. I want them to have options. Yeah. Great. If you're already thinking that, then as you're planning, you're already going to be thinking about, well, what if they don't do that? Mm. And as long as you just keep asking yourself that, as long as you just keep saying, well, what if they do something different? Or what if they don't talk to this person and they miss all of this content? If you're already asking that stuff, you're going to plan around it. And I've gone on record before saying you shouldn't overplan, but if it's your first ever adventure, it might do you good to overplan. If that makes you feel secure in the fact that you've written something that has an answer to everything, then great. At the end of the day, it will get easier the more you do it, but you have to do it first. You know, you have to just jump in and give it a go. And look, I'm not going to mince my words. Your first games will probably be shit. Especially compared to when you've been playing for years, because you'll look back and you'll go, God, I should rewrite that. I can make that so much better now.
But then I think that's a thing as well, DMs and the party is you and I've played in your games and their games. And it's like...
There's 2 points to this, right?
Yeah.
First point I want to make is that with every hobby, you start off shit. If I said tomorrow, I'm going to learn the saxophone, and then years down the line, I'd love to learn the saxophone, and then 3 years down the line, I look back at it, at me now, today, saying I'm going to learn the saxophone, I'd be like, God, I was shit. Because I've got better. Because that's what happens. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of being shit. And, okay, remark about having DMs in the party. I can tell you now how refreshing it is for me as someone who DMs all the time. I know James is the same. I can't speak for everyone, but I know that James and I are quite the same. How refreshing it is to be able to go into a game as a player and it be simple. And us for not have to think, oh, are we going up against a Baelor? No, we're in a village. We're going up against a wizard. oh, do I need to think about curses and implications in the campaign? No, this is a level 1 to 5 adventure. It's going to end at level 5. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm never going to be in this village ever again. This world doesn't exist beyond the bounds of the woods that surround this village. Okay, cool. It's refreshing to just take off all that weight and think, I'm playing a game here. I'm level 1. All I can do is swing my sword once. Let's go and offer some help. And if my character dies, I'll make sure it's a good death, because it's a 1 to 5 adventure. It was so nice playing the starter set again, like after playing for 9 years and actually going through it properly rather than just reading it and running it for other people. It was so refreshing. So you don't need to worry about that, because DMs are constantly thinking about every single possibility and every single spell and everything the players could do. That to just strip all of that and go in blind, not knowing what the story is and discovering it as you play and pretending you're a level 1 fighter who can only swing their sword once a turn. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just easy.
I also feel like, and this is probably just a me thing,
mm-hmm.
I feel like either you or James or Wesley loves the exposition, you know, is going to be like, oh, I, what do I know about this? And I'll say, do a history check. And then I'll be like, I didn't plan anything for that. So you know this about the history of this place. And then I'll be like, I've just bullshit my way through that. And it doesn't connect to absolutely anything in this story. And now I've got a write a whole story because James did a history check.
Welcome to being a DM. That shit happens every single session. Every single game. Someone asks me something that I have not read up on, that I do not know the answer to, that I have to just make up on the spot. And that's amazing. That's so good, because you're just coming up with hooks and things. And look, this is the thing. It's a level 1 to 5 adventure in an enclosed area. It doesn't matter if the history isn't relevant. It makes it feel alive. We know going in that we're not going to play in this world after level 5, right? That we're probably not going to go much further than the next town over at most. So when we ask, oh, Where's the next nearest town? Like, just so we know, like, if we wanted to tell everyone to run because we've, like, broken his concentration and he's not holding them for 5 minutes, where would we tell them to run to? You say, okay, roll a history check. It's not going to be that hard. You live in the world. Okay, so it's a DC of 10, because as in the DMG, DC 10 is a standard sort of DC. 15 is harder. 20 is nearly impossible. 30 is nearly impossible, but you get the gist. Mm-hmm. They tell you how to do it. You can look all that up. And you say, in your heart, you're in your head thinking, I don't have a town name, I don't know. Okay, fine, I'm gonna say it's a town called Tarrington, and it's to the west and it's 50 miles away. Well, shit, we're gonna turn around and say 50 miles is a long way, but we know it's west, we know it's there. That's why they haven't, no one's managed to escape yet. Makes sense. We'll have to make sure we set up some provisions for them before we tell them to run. You've just improvised a big part of now what is part of our challenge of freeing these people in this village. That's okay. It happens all the time. You know?
Mm.
I think the point of this episode was to be able to say, like, look, we've just taken a random idea that Phoebe had and made it into an adventure. And I think we've proved that you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Phoebe has a DM sat here giving her the ideas, but these are things that you can come up with. And if you are listening to this thinking, yeah, I really want to take this random idea of a bird person that's just an Arakokra who gets praised by a village of people, and they get seen as a god, and so they become a narcissist bird and needs to be person. Taken down a peg or two, you know. Stop it, Rick and Morty. Like, do you see what I mean? Like, if that's an idea you've got, great. If you need help and you don't have a DM, go and ask online. There's so many people. There's so many communities and stuff. But I think we've proved that you can do that. Do you feel like it's proved that?
Yeah.
I don't want to say that we have. If
yeah, no, I do. And I think, you know, incorporating all the spells that we thought about, yeah, definitely. I do think it does, yeah.
I want to just touch on the thing you said when I told you that you were going on to a different topic about how you were afraid about when you run the game.
Mm-hmm.
that could be a whole other conversation, but I think I can boil it down to one sentence or at least one paragraph of words that is the answer to that. And that's that everybody felt that way when they first ran a D&D game. But there's a difference, right? You're either in a group where none of you have played before, or you're in a group where some of you have played before, either as DM or players, doesn't matter which. If you're in a group where no one has played before, you don't need to worry about getting things wrong, because no one knows. No one knows if you've used the wrong damage die or if you've misread one rule if no one's played the game before. And again, it's that thing of the more you play, the more you learn. I look back at the games I played when I first got into D&D and I'm like, wow, I got so many of the rules wrong. Like the rules that make D&D D&D and make it its own system, I got them wrong. Mm. Now I get them right and it's better. But I learned them over time because that rule book is fucking huge. You get it over time. Not everyone understands the offside rule in football, right? Not everyone understands how surprise rounds work. I now understand how surprise rounds work and I implement them regularly. Back then, I didn't have a fucking Piggles idea. I didn't know. The other option
is that you're
running...
You still don't understand the offside rule idea.
I do. Upside. Do you want me to tell you it?
No, it's fine. No, I didn't need you to explain it. Like, you made me explain what soldering was.
I do understand what the offside rule is.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Good. Thank you.
Good.
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 The other option is you're... Yeah, wonderful. The other option is you're in a group with people who have played before, right? And if you're in a group with people who've played before, your job's just got a whole lot easier because you've got someone to ask. They know the rules.
But then you don't want to ruin the game for them. You don't want to then just spoil what's going to happen next.
Right. So if you're gonna ask a question that's going to spoil something, don't ask them. Just make it up. Just do it your way. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long if they're your friends and if they know that this is your first time and that you're probably going to get some things wrong, then they'll get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you. And if you want to know, you can ask them and they can tell you afterwards. Okay, here's how it works in D&D rules, but what you did was pretty cool. If it's like, oh, I don't remember I want my creature to hide on his turn, but I don't remember if he can do that on his turn. Just ask.
Yeah.
My creature has the nimble escape feature. Does that mean they can hide as a bonus action? Yes. Cool.
Yeah.
I want my creature to hide. Can he do that for free? What is he? He's a goblin. We're fighting goblins. Yeah, they can. Oh, he's a human. It would cost him his action. Done.
Yeah.
Ask. And it'll make your life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like I've come out of this episode thinking, I don't know if anything we've talked about today will actually be useful to anyone. it's been one of those ones for me. I know it's helpful to you, but I want it to be helpful to more than people than just you.
No, I think it teaches how to expand.
Mm. And the other thing as well is, like, I can only sit here and come up with ideas because I've played D&D for so many years.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, I know creatures and I know spells and I know rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for me to go, oh, I've got an idea, you could do it this way. Whereas for someone who hasn't played for long might go, how would I be able to make a creature that does this?
Yeah, but just because you've given me those ideas doesn't mean that I will use them. It means that you've given me inspiration. It means that you've given me, oh, okay, so that's how Ben expanded on it. I'm going to expand, you know, in a similar way, not the same way. Didn't like, you know, said thing. But I see why he expanded in that way and I will follow that pattern. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but my point is that I was able to say, oh, you could use this creature as a base and a new player might not know of that creature. That's okay. That's just stuff that will come with playing the game because you expose yourself to more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Let's leave it there. I think...
Sounds so defeated.
Because I feel like I haven't actually helped.
No, you have. You have helped. Okay. When I came into this, I thought, I wouldn't get too excited anyone because I don't know if this is going to happen. But now I feel like it might because I feel like I'm not so overwhelmed by the prospect.
Mm.
And that was the idea.
Okay. If you're listening to this and you don't have a DM friend or another player who's played before to bounce ideas off of, my advice would be to Google for resources. So I've mentioned a few, and there are loads out there. I forget the names of all of them, but if you want to make a town, just Google something like D&D town generator, you'll find loads. If you want NPCs, NPC generator, you'll find loads. If you're struggling to come up with ideas on your own because you haven't got, you know, someone who's played the game for years, then generators are a great way, because it will give you a town or an NPC, and then you can edit it or work off of that. So that's my
parting
advice for anyone who hasn't got someone to sound off.
Yeah, I think also, you know, Reddit is a great place to put ideas, and people will come back with, you know, expansions on them. If you actually want Ben's advice on stuff, join the Patreon. Get Ben's advice on stuff through the Discord chat from the Patreon. You know, constantly we have people asking for ideas on there, and that, you know, brings chat between us. And so when Ben posts his idea or his expansion on something, it's, you know, a bit of my idea, a bit of Ben's idea, a bit of sometimes Sam's idea, sometimes James' idea, like, because that's what D&D is about. You know, it's about a culminative idea process, I think, when you're first.
Yeah, the server's a great place to say, I want to do X, Y, Z, how would you do it? And then getting like five people to tell you their way of doing it. And then then they're all different. Speaking of which, when are you going to pay me for all of this advice I've given you for free, Phoebe? When are you going to, how are you going to repay me? Are you cooking dinner tonight? Are you going to do the dishes? Is that seems like fair repayment.
I don't know.
You don't think it's worth that? My valuable insight isn't worth that.
I mean, it's worth it, but like, I also have to put up with you all the time.
That is true.
So not kidding.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Is payment enough?
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's close this episode. thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, if you have a topic you want to talk about, if you want to just send in thoughts, opinions, if you want to tell me that I'm shit, then go for it. WeSpeakCommon@hotmail.com is the email. At WeSpeakCommon on Twitter and Instagram. If you see WeSpeakCommon on Reddit, it's probably me. I think my handle is like Nebby59 from when I was a teenager. So hey, that's probably me. And most people send me messages saying, "Is this Ben from WeSpeakCommon?" And I say, "Yes, it is." So I'd love to see the messages of people who ask someone and they're like, "No, I don't know who the fuck that is." Or you can join the Reddit, the Discord, by being a Patreon. So if you want to do that, links as ever in the description below. Cool. Keep an eye out for the deep dive into Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft if you haven't seen it already. Again, it's either going to be out just before this episode or just after. So just go back and check. And if you want to grab an extra bonus, you can get all of my notes on Waterdeep Dragon Heist off of the Patreon, as well as actually all of my notes on how to run Strahd Must Die Tonight, inspired from last week's episode talking about Strahd Vanzarovich. A Patreon member asked for some notes and I said, "Oh, okay, here you go." And put them up on the Patreon.
As a player who played in that game, it was a very good game. Both of them.
That was a Halloween.
Both of them, to be fair. Waterdeep, it is, Ben's version of Waterdeep is an incredibly fleshed out place. It is.
Thank you.
You know, we played that game while we were in lockdown. And it was where I lived because I couldn't live in the real world. I lived in Waterdeep instead. And
me too.
It was great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. I like getting you on the podcast. It's the nicest you are ever to me, ever. Mm, it's great. It's wonderful.
You wait. Wait until we get downstairs, boy.
Sorry. All right. Love you lots.
I love you.
Oh, I was talking to the listener, but okay.
I love you too.
I love you too.
Listeners.
All right, see you later. Thanks for listening today. If you like the show, do us a favour, leave us a like and review on your platform of choice, and share us with your friends. Send us to your fellow DMs and players so that we can build our community even more. It really helps to get us out in front of more eyes. If you want to support the show, you can by joining our Patreon. Links can be found in the show description and the episode descriptions on all platforms. The music in the podcast is Street Dancing by Timecrawler82. It's licensed under a Creative Commons license by NC. You can find it on the Free Music Archive.